Welcome to Vintage Voices, a program of the theater company of Sun City's Radio Player. We air on Wednesdays at 12:30 p.m. and Sundays at 11 a.m. on WHRULP 101.5 FM, Huntley Community Radio. Today's play is Stranger in the House, part of the Whistler series, and our 11th in a series of 12 classic mystery plays that will air through February 2018. Our cast includes Sarah Elam as the Whistler, Marie Seeker as Helen, Kevin Fenner as George Chadwick, Jan Dennis as Rhoda, George Marcotte as the steward and Mr. Rigby, Russ Howard as Ted, Lauren Argall as the State Department rep and Julian, Joanne Clevenger as Miss Robbins, Dick Bruett as the FBI agent, and Karen Stipe as the passenger and long-distance operator. I'm Ed Dennis. The play was directed by Jan Dennis, who was assisted by Gail Patterson. It was recorded and prepared for broadcast by Jim Eggers and Tony Pratt. And now, the Whistler's strange story, Stranger in the House. That whistle is your signal for the Whistler.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak. Helen decided that she might as well be honest with herself. The suspense was getting her down. But if she didn't find out one way or the other pretty soon, something was going to snap. It had been over 6 years since her foster brother Ted had left for the Orient on that government mission just before Pearl Harbor. And he was still out there somewhere between Manila and Shanghai, alive or dead. It was a terrible thing to admit, even to herself. But she was even wishing now for any kind of message, even one stating that Ted was dead. At least it would end the waiting. At least it would be better than not knowing at all.
George, please, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Ted's been on my mind for so long now that I wish I could forget about him for a while.
I'm rather surprised to hear you say that, Helen.
Oh, I know it's terrible, but George, it's been six, almost 7 years of waiting and not knowing.
Yes, I know, Helen.
I can't stand it much longer, George. After all, he's my foster brother. Don't you understand? All these years of silence. If they'd only tell us something.
You must realize there are a lot of women like you, dear. It's just one of the terrible things about the aftermath of war, that's all.
Let's just wait, then. Let's not talk about him anymore.
I'm your lawyer, Helen. There are some things we've got to talk about.
All right. Go on, George.
Well, it's been almost 7 years now. If we haven't heard from Ted in another 4 months, he'll be declared legally dead.
What does that mean?
There's a clause in your foster father's will, Helen. When Ted dies, the entire estate goes over to you.
Why must you always throw that will in my face, George? Why must it always come around to money, money, money? Every time we talk about Ted, it's the same thing. I don't care about the money. All I care about is having him back alive and well. Now please go, George. And if it doesn't have to be settled till September, let's not talk about it till then.
All right, Helen.
George?
Yes?
I'm sorry I blew up. I guess I'm just not myself.
Sure, Helen. I understand.
Yes, Helen. The suspense is beginning to tell on you, isn't it? Almost 7 years of it. Just a few letters from Ted early in 1941, telling you of his arrival in Manila. Then, silence. No way you could get in touch with him. Nothing you could do but wait. And you're still waiting. Rushing out to meet the postman, hoping each day will be the big one. George is more tactful now about the will. He doesn't mention it anymore, and you're very grateful. And then, at long last, the suspense is ended. It's not the postman. It's Rhoda, your maid, walking into your bedroom one morning with a cablegram.
Where did this come, Rhoda?
Just this minute, miss. A messenger brought it to the door.
Arriving June 4th, Seattle. Steamer President Jefferson. Love, Ted.
Oh, at last. Oh, Miss Helen, Mr. Ted coming home at last.
Yes. Yes, Rhoda. At last. Oh, pardon me. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, that's quite all right.
Steward? Oh, steward?
Yes, miss?
I'm looking for Mr. Ted Van Norton. Where is his cabin, please?
Just a minute, please. Van Norton, stateroom 3C, third deck.
Thank you.
Come in.
Ted, darling.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have the wrong stateroom. I'm looking for my brother, Ted Van Norton.
Well, what's the matter, Helen? Don't you recognize me?
What? Who are you?
Well, this isn't much of a homecoming after 6 years. Maybe I'd better introduce myself. The name is Theodore Van Norton.
Oh, there must be some mistake.
Helen, darling, you're joking.
Who are you?
I've already told you. I'm your foster brother, Ted Van Norton.
You're not Ted. You're an imposter.
Well, darling, hadn't we better get a move on?
Are you stupid enough to think you can get away with this?
Get away with what?
If this is some crude attempt at humor, I don't think...
Not at all. I'm quite serious.
Where's Ted?
Oh, do you have to be that way? I explained once.
Don't lie to me. Where is he?
Excuse me a moment. Oh, Stuart.
Yes, Mr. Van Norton?
Would you take care of my hand baggage, please?
Yes, sir. Right away.
Thanks. Come on, Helen. Let's go down to the dock.
I'll call the purser.
Wait a minute. Now look. See? Passport with fingerprints and photograph. Birth certificate. State Department credentials. Letters from you.
They're forgeries.
I'm sorry. They're genuine.
You're not going home with me. I won't stand for it.
Very well, darling. I'll check in at a hotel for the time being. But after all, you can't keep a guy out of his own home. Can you?
George, I've never been so stunned in my life. He just stood there, smiling at me, saying over and over that he was Ted.
Well, wait a minute. You say he had identification?
Everything. Even letters from me. I wrote them when Ted first arrived in Manila.
Were they genuine?
I think so. You're my lawyer. Do something.
Well, he'd know better than to try to get by with forgeries. Helen, you're sure you're right?
George, don't you think I know my own brother?
Oh, it's been close to 7 years. He's probably been in a prison camp. That can make a lot of difference in a man's appearance.
But it's not entirely a matter of appearance. It's the way he walks, his voice, his mannerisms. Besides, Ted's dead.
What?
Or he would have written. Something terrible has happened. I'm sure of it. This man might have killed him. Yes, that's it. So he could get his hands on Ted's money.
That's a pretty serious charge, Helen. You've got to be sure of yourself. You're the only one in Seattle who can recognize him. Remember, he's been gone for 7 years. Do you have any pictures?
No, I thought of that. No. No, there weren't any. Not since he was a little boy. Spent most of his time in the East with Aunt Ida.
Well, where's she?
She died some time ago.
Well, there are a lot of ways we can check on him. The State Department ought to know about him. He's been with them for over 10 years. You say he's stopping at a hotel?
Yes.
You know, of course, that if he can prove his identity, he has a legal right to live here in this house.
I tell you, he's a flagrant imposter. He's not coming here if I have to hire somebody to throw him out. Who is it?
It's Rhoda, miss.
Oh. What time is it?
After 8.
Oh, go away. I'm sleepy.
I must see you, miss.
All right, Rhoda. Come in. Now, what is it?
It's that man, Mr. Van Norton.
What? Where is he?
He's in the guest bathroom, miss, shaving.
So give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer.
Well, good morning.
What? What do you think you're doing?
Shaving. Morning ablutions. Can't say I'm used to having ladies barge into the bathroom.
Get out of here.
Temper.
How did you get in?
Well, I couldn't get a room at the hotel, so I took a taxi up last night. Walked in the back door. It was open, you see.
You can leave the same way you came in.
No. I'm here to stay, sister dear. I've got the proof in my pocket. If you want to get me out, you can trot right down to the Hall of Justice and get yourself a court order. Have some more coffee, Helen.
No, thanks.
Hotcakes?
Mr. Whoever you are.
Van Norton. Name's Theodore Van Norton.
I must say I've never seen such colossal nerve in all my life.
Oh, you flatter me.
You're not at all concerned about the servants?
Should I be?
Aren't you afraid they'll fail to recognize you?
Don't be silly. None of them were here when I left. Edward the butler was last to go, I think. Oh, by the way, Helen, whatever became about Edward?
There are other people in town, of course. What about your teachers at Washington Heights School?
Why, Helen, I believe you're trying to trick me. You know Father sent me to Fox Hall Academy when I was 14. I never went to Washington Heights.
Oh.
Where are you going?
You seem to know everything. Why don't you tell me that?
Helen, we have some talking to do, darling. About the will, Father's estate. He left all of it to me, you know. Seems to me the executor owes me close to $1 million.
You knew it was coming, didn't you, Helen? That's the purpose behind this whole crazy business. It's still inconceivable to you that the man can actually expect to get away with it. George was right. There are 1,000 ways you can check up on him. And the imposter himself just gave you an excellent one. You can make a long-distance call to the Foxhall Academy and talk to Mr. Rigby, the headmaster.
Why, yes, of course, Miss Van Norton. I'd be delighted to come down tomorrow afternoon. Ted was always one of my favorites, you know. Any special time?
What about 2 o'clock?
Fine, fine. It'll be quite a reunion, won't it?
Yes, indeed, Mr. Rigby. Quite a reunion. Mr. Rigby, this is George Chadwick, my lawyer.
Mr. Chadwick?
How do you do, sir?
Would you like to wait in the living room, Mr. Rigby? I think Ted's out on the tennis court. We'll call him.
Thanks.
Come on, George. Excuse us, Mr. Rigby.
Of course.
You still don't think I know my own brother?
No, I never said that, Helen. I only said 7 years can make a lot of difference. You yourself said his general features were the same.
I'm afraid Mr. What's-His-Name is going to suffer a little embarrassment.
You think Rigby will recognize him?
Recognize him as an imposter, if that's what you mean.
Hmm.
He knows Ted as well as I do.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What's the matter?
I don't know. I had those documents checked, the hospital records in Manila. He was a patient there for over...
I tell you, he's a fraud. Heaven knows what happens to Ted or how this crook got hold of his papers, but he's...
all right, Helen. You'd better go and call him.
Hello, sis. What's up?
I'm sorry to interrupt your tennis game, Ted.
Oh, it's Ted now, huh?
Why, of course. I could have been mistaken, you know.
Well... Can't say I expected this.
I'd be a little foolish not to admit it when I'm wrong, wouldn't I? Come on, dear.
Where to?
Just to the living room. You can go back to your tennis in a moment. Oh, there you are, George.
Hello, Ted.
Hello, George. What's going on around here?
We're going into the living room, George. Perhaps you'd like to join us.
Yes, of course.
Well, open the door, George.
Sorry.
Say, what's this all about? Rigby!
Teddy, old boy, how have you been?
Oh, you old son of a gun. What is this, Helen? A surprise? Why don't they tip a guy off when this old headmaster comes to see him?
Oh, you're looking fine, Teddy. Good Lord, it's been a long time.
Yes.
Last time I saw you was after the Washburn game, remember?
Washburn? Yeah, Spokane. Stinky was there, too. Say, do you remember the bus broke down that night outside of Wenatchee? You and I had to hitch.
You stand there stunned, speechless, just staring at them as they slap each other on the back, forgetting all about you. And George avoids looking at you. He's on their side now. You're sure of it. And worst of all, it's beginning to get you, too. He's not Ted, your foster brother. You know it. You're positive. It's ridiculous to go through all this rigmarole. But it seems to be your word against his proof, doesn't it? But there are still other ways, aren't there? Like another long-distance call, this time to the State Department in Washington, D.C. After being transferred to 4 or 5 different offices, you finally get through to the right man.
It's most important that you check this matter thoroughly. I'm positive that the man representing himself as my foster brother is an imposter.
You say you were with Mr. Van Norton when he filed his original application here in 1938?
Yes. I saw him attach his photograph and fix his fingerprints. I simply want to see that application.
I'll forward the file to our Seattle representative. You can check it there. Will that be satisfactory?
Quite satisfactory. Thank you.
I see. You say the file was forwarded here from Washington?
That's right. I simply want to examine it, particularly the photograph.
Uh-huh. Excuse me a moment, Miss Van Norton. I'll have to look it up.
Well, George?
Well, what?
I can't say that I'm pleased with your lack of faith in me.
Now, who said anything about that?
Oh, it's clear enough.
Look, I'm a lawyer. I believe black is white if they throw enough evidence at me. Mr. Rigby was a very convincing witness.
He's a decrepit old fool, and it had been 15 years.
I thought he was an intelligent man.
I could have passed you off as my brother. He'd forgotten what Ted looks like.
And does that explain why Ted recognized him? I don't know. You might be arguing against yourself when you say Rigby might have forgotten what he looks like.
What do you mean?
You might have forgotten yourself. You haven't seen Ted in almost 7 years. A man can change.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. I know my own brother as well as I know
the... Here comes the clerk.
Here we are. Theodore H. Van Norton. Now, what did you wish to see?
Here, let me see it. Medical examination, education record, application. Where's the picture?
On the other side.
Oh, here.
Satisfied, Helen?
It can't be. I saw Ted paste the picture on himself.
Is something wrong?
Of course there's something wrong. This isn't Ted's picture. It's that man.
Helen, get hold of yourself.
But here, let me see. Yes, here they are. Fingerprints. Now listen, clerk. I want this whole record sent to the office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Helen, you've got to have a rest. This thing is getting you.
That's one thing that can't be forged, don't you see? They can't forge his fingerprints.
I'm sorry, Miss Van Norton, but I have no authority to send...
You've got to. I tell you, there's a stranger in my house. He's posing as my foster brother. There's $1 million involved.
Just a minute, Helen, please. It's, it's most important, Miss Robbins, not only because of the money involved. Miss Van Norton is extremely upset.
Of course, Mr. Chadwick. But you see, I can't simply turn over material like this to...
I'll make the necessary arrangements with the FBI, Miss Robbins, and get your authority from Washington. Will that be satisfactory?
Quite, Mr. Chadwick. Quite.
Hello, Ted.
Well, Helen, I began to wonder where you were all afternoon.
Oh, downtown. Shopping. Stores are frightful these days.
Indeed they are.
Reading?
Yeah.
How's Dick Tracy?
Oh, haven't checked him today.
Funny. You used to read Dick Tracy before you even looked at the headlines.
I guess a guy gets a little serious after all those years overseas. Prison camp, hospital.
Yes, I suppose so.
You're looking calmer today. Finally decide I'm the real thing?
I want you to forgive me, Ted. It's so unbelievable that I don't quite trust my senses anymore.
Sure. You're a good kid, Helen. I don't blame you.
Will you drink on it?
Why not?
What'll it be?
Bourbon and soda.
Oh, you're a man after my own heart.
You know, I'm kind of surprised. I thought you'd be a tougher nut to crack.
Oh? You expected me to be suspicious?
Well, after that episode on the boat, I expected anything.
Oh. Here you are.
Thanks.
What'll we drink to?
To us, of course.
All right. To us.
Yes, ma'am.
You're in charge of the fingerprinting department here?
Yes.
I'm Helen Van Norton. I brought in a highball glass yesterday afternoon with some fingerprints on it.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's the one you wanted us to check against the prints on the State Department application file.
That's right.
Where'd you get that glass?
A man is posing as my brother, staying at my house. They're his fingerprints.
Are you sure of the prints on the application?
What do you mean?
Are you sure they're the bona fide prints of your brother?
Of course. I was with him in Washington when he completed the application in 1938. I saw him put the prints on it.
I see. Well, that ought to settle it once and for all.
What do you mean?
The man at your house is your brother, Miss Van Norton. The prints are identical.
It can't be. It can't.
We wouldn't commit ourselves if we weren't positive.
I see. Yes, of course. Oh, thank you.
Well, Helen, that settles it, doesn't it? You're beaten, and you know it. And worst of all, you're not at all sure of yourself anymore. Yes, that's the unbearable part. Not knowing in your mind whether you're right or wrong. But you still have one more out. Just one. It's a long chance. But you've decided you have to take it. To decide once and for all whether or not this man, Ted, is your foster brother. Whether you can trust your own mind. It's very late that night when you get quietly out of bed and walk downstairs to the telephone. The house is as quiet as a tomb. Everyone's asleep.
I want to call Shanghai, operator. Mr. C.S. Julian, 28 Purlang Drive, Shanghai.
Just a moment, please. Mr. C.S. Julian?
Yes.
28 Purlang Drive, Shanghai.
Yes.
There will be a delay. Will you wait?
Yes. Yes, I'll wait.
Here's your party. Go ahead, please.
Do you remember me?
Of course I remember you. You called concerning a man, a Mr. Van Norton, as I remember. He was in Manila.
Do you know what became of him?
He was killed in an accident in May of 1941.
You're positive?
Positive.
Thank you, Mr. Julian. Thank you very much.
It was a relief to know, wasn't it, Helen? You can trust your own senses now. Ted is dead. Mr. Julian just told you so. And the stranger in the house is an imposter. Somehow, some way, you can prove it. And the $50,000 you paid Mr. Julian back in the spring of 1941 is still a good investment because Ted's $1 million, half of the estate, will be yours, all of it. But right now you don't want to think about it anymore. It's been too bewildering. All you want now is your bed and the first good night's sleep in a week. You put down the phone and start toward the stairs.
Sit down, Helen.
How long have you been here?
Long enough. I said sit down.
I'm going upstairs.
Sit down before you fall down. That's it. You just hung yourself, baby. There's a record of that phone conversation down at FBI headquarters.
What are you talking about?
You didn't have Shanghai, in case you're wondering. You were talking to the boys down at the office, not Mr. Julian. We had everything, you see, except the link you just gave us. We knew Mr. Julian paid $10,000, part of the money you sent him, to one of the boys in Manila, the boy who killed your foster brother, Ted.
But...
I was the only one who knew. I was detained over there in a prison camp, like I said. It was a long wait. I knew Ted had a foster sister, and I knew there were close to $1 million in it somewhere. You shouldn't have picked out someone in the State Department. Oh, it took us a long time to work it out. A lot of planning, a lot of names, a lot of people to run down. We even drew on the services of Mr. Rigby. When we got going, we knew you'd crack sooner or later.
Who are you?
This time, baby, I'm telling you the truth. I was your brother's best friend. My name's McKay. Oh, and incidentally, I'm with the FBI.
Thanks for listening to Stranger in the House, originally broadcast on September 2nd, 1946. And join us again next month for our 12th mystery play, Not Enough Time. You may also listen to any of our 21 previously recorded radio plays online by visiting huntleyradio.com and selecting Vintage Voices.